Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Last Sunday night, we looked at the Holy Spirit. He is inviting ministry to the saint, to the sinner. He is indwelling ministry to the saved, and He is infilling ministry to service. In which, as we began to look at that, we talked about several different things going into it, and we looked at the proper recognition of the Holy Spirit. Who is He? He is not just an it, but He is co-equal and co-eternal and co-powerful with God Himself. It's God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, or God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we looked at the proper recognition of the Holy Spirit, and then we looked at the primary roles of the Holy Spirit, and that's where we really centered in at and dealt with. He is inviting ministry to the sinner. He is indwelling ministry to the saved. And His infilling ministry for service. His infilling ministry for service. Now, I want to pick up and deal a little bit more with that tonight, and then go to another part of the message and conclude it tonight. Ephesians 5:18. Now, this is really where we left off on Sunday night. The Christians are commanded, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, the whole verse says this, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. This command is giving to every child of God. He commands us to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Now, think about this. There's a great difference between being baptized by the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you study the literal meaning of the two words, baptized and filled, you will understand the difference. To be baptized means that one is put into something, but to be filled means that something is put into an individual. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, he will have the power of God upon his life. To be filled with the Holy Spirit literally means the Christian has yielded complete control of his life to the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means there must be a continuous inflow and a continuous overflow and a continuous outflow of the Spirit of God in a person's life. When this happens, the Holy Spirit will use that person in God's service for the glory of God. In order for God to use us, we must be filled with the Spirit of God. We can't live the Christian life on our own. Matter of fact, he says this, be filled with the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it goes back to being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I want to say a couple things and deal with a couple things. There's only one baptism of the Holy Ghost, but a person may be filled with the Holy Spirit of God many times. Now, think about this. In the following scriptures, I want us to notice two things. The same people are being filled again and again with the Holy Spirit, and every time, without exception, they bear witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll say a whole lot more about this in just a second. Nowhere do we find that evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is talking in some kind of jibber-jabber or speaking in tongues. Watch what your Bible says, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and of the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 2:4, on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now pay attention. This was not some kind of jibber-jabber or unknown tongue, which no one understood. But rather they were speaking in the different languages of the people to whom they were speaking. The word language in Acts 2:6 and the word tongue in Acts 2:8 come from the same Greek word. What they were saying, notice Acts 2:11. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. What was that that they were saying? They were saying this, the wonderful works of God. What is the wonderful works of God? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that filling of the Holy Spirit was not something that was known by speaking in tongues. Now, watch this. Acts chapter number 4, verse 8 through 12, we have an account of Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost as he stood before the ruler and the elders of Israel. And again, we find him giving witness of the resurrected Lord. The same thing happens again in Acts 4:31. Peter was in this crowd, and again we find they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We are told in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of what? Of the resurrection. The speaking in tongues had nothing to do with some kind of filling of the Holy Ghost and nobody knowing what they said. It was simply they spoke in their own language and someone understood it. Now, I'll say this to you, if you carefully study these passages, you'll discover three things about all these incidents. One, there was always an apostle present. Two, there was unbelieving Jews who were also present. And three, there were no women involved in the use of tongues. There was not at all. Now listen to what the Bible said. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 18 teaches, whether there be prophets, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The gift of prophecy shall fail. This word fail speaks of one's health failing. The gift of tongues will cease. This means the gift of tongues would die. The gift of knowledge will vanish. These partial gifts were to be done away with when that which is perfect is come. And I say this to you, it did come, and it left the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost for us. And speaking in tongues has nothing to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. All right? Now, let's look at something else tonight. As we've looked at this, and I want to pick up, number one tonight, I want to deal with this, the personal relationship of the Holy Spirit. The personal relationship of the Holy Spirit. Since the Holy Spirit is a person, those who are saved can have a personal relationship with Him. The way that I have a personal relationship with God tonight is through the Holy Ghost. The way I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is through the Holy Ghost. Who did He leave to indwell in us? I understand that it's a triune Godhead, but understand this. The Holy Ghost is the way that we have access to God the Father and God the Son tonight. I can have a personal relationship with Him. It is sweet when there are no hindrances in the life of the child of God. And he enjoys a sweet and precious relationship with the Holy Spirit as he journeys on the road to heaven. But also, since the Spirit of God is a person, he has feelings, and his feelings can be hurt, thus hindering that personal relationship with him. The personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can offend the Holy Spirit. You can hurt the feelings of the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Spirit of God. I want you to look at a couple of things with me tonight about this of the Holy Spirit. I want to show you seven sins against the Holy Spirit that the child of God must guard against so we do not hinder these precious relationships. Your name just left me, Miss Christie. I'm going to give several scriptures, okay? And if you'll pull them up, I know you'll do a great job. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 30 is where we're going right now. And then I'm going to give you another one to be working on for later, okay? And that's, are you ready, Brother Rodney? That's 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Now, here's seven sins that we need to guard against. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 30 says this, and Miss Christian, we're going to give her plenty of time to let her get that pulled up because I want you to walk through with me. Then we're going, just in your mind, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, okay? That's where we're going to head to next. And when we get to it, I'll give you the next one after that so we'll be able to stay ahead a little bit. She said, I need to write them. I should have texted it to you this morning. I'm sorry, I didn't. Think about this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. Look what the Bible says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What do we need to guard against? We don't need to grieve the Holy Spirit. That word grieve, here's what it means. To give a pain of mind to afflict, to wound the feelings. To wound the feelings. You know what he says? Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't wound the feelings of the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever wanted to spend time with you? Let me back up and rephrase that. You ever wanted to spend time with somebody and they didn't have time for you? And it hurt your feelings. You said, preacher, I don't have feelings. You're a liar. Let me tell you the reason I know that's not so. And I know that every person sitting here has emotions. Watch this. Walk out of church tonight, walk by one of these redneck trucks out here, and hit your shin on the trailer hitch and see what happens. Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to have emotions. Every one of you sitting in here tonight. I promise you, you're just not going to go, well, hallelujah, thank God. I'm glad that redneck left that hitch right there. It was a joy to walk by that and hit my shin tonight. You're probably going to say things we don't need to say in here. Come on. Watch this. We have feelings, and there's times that our feelings are hurt. And here's what he warns about in our personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. He said, don't grieve him. In other words, don't afflict him. Don't wound his feelings. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says this. Then I'm going to give you another one, Brother Rodney. You want to write it down? All right, here's the next one, Hebrews 10:29. Hebrews 10:29. Now watch this, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. What did he say? Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. That word quench means this, to extinguish, to put out, to steal, to quiet. I'm going to ask you a question. You ever been sitting in church and the Holy Ghost got to moving in your life? I like it when he does that. Man, I'm going to tell you, some family sung last night. What was her name, Miss Mandy? The Lavette family. The Lavette family got to singing last night. And I'm going to tell you, man, I don't know about everybody else in there, but Brother Ted, something got to stirring up inside of me. Let me tell you what it was. It was the Holy Ghost. You know what I done when it got to stirring up in me? I raised my hand and I said, amen, hallelujah. I clapped my hands and said, that's right, praise God. Let me tell you what happens when that begins to stir in your life. He warns us, don't quench the Holy Ghost. Don't extinguish that. Don't put that out. Don't steal that. Don't quiet that. Number three, watch this. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25. Don't despise the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to turn over there because I want to read a few more. She'll give you Hebrews 10, 29. Let me read you some more right here. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let me just read you a little bit more. Let us hold fast. I'm going to pick up verse 33, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the professions of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How we do that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach it. For if we sin willfully, and I'm going to deal a lot with that Sunday night. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying when you don't provoke each other to love, and you're not faithful to the house of God, you're sinning willfully. Goes on to say, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be that foot the Son, or shall he be, back up verse 29, let me read it right. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath despised unto the Spirit of grace. You know what he says? Listen to verse 29. Ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God. You know what you do when you miss the house of God? Now again, I'm going to deal with this a lot. You trod under your foot the Son of God. You might as well walk. It's preaching time. I might just preach on it tonight. You might as well walk on the Son of God. I'm reading you the Bible tonight. We always quote verse 25, but there's more to it than verse 25. Then he goes on to say, don't despise the Holy Ghost. And that simply means this, to insult him. It is insulting to the Holy Ghost when you don't provoke one another to love. Everybody okay? When you don't, well, you just don't know what they said about me, and you don't know, and you don't know, and you don't know. If you're always having to defend yourself, I was talking to a gentleman today in the church, And we was talking about situation. And I said this. I said, when somebody starts off, now you know I'm not going to lie to you. Why even tell me that? And I asked the gentleman in church I was talking to, I said, have I ever started off a conversation with you like that? Now you know I'm not going to lie to you. Why are you even telling me that? Help me understand why you're even saying that. Maybe because it's something. And if you're always, well, you know, preacher, you just don't understand what I've been through, and you don't understand how everybody talks about me. And maybe you just got a wild imagination in your mind, or maybe there's a reason that you got that wild imagination in your mind. It's because you're guilty of everything that you're saying, and nobody's even saying it. You know, Brother Justin, I know you learned this in all the years as a detective. Sometimes if you'll just let people talk, they'll tell on themselves. They'll just tell every bit of it, Brother Blake. You know what he's saying to us right here? When we don't provoke each other to love, we despite, we insult the Holy Ghost. Watch this, whatever number we're on. I'm not going to worry about the scripture on this one because there are several. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Revelations 2, 7, 11, and 17, and verse 29. Revelations chapter 6, or chapter 3, verse 6, verse 13, verse 22. He says, whatever the Spirit saith unto you, listen to it. Here's you another one. Don't lie to the Holy Ghost. Don't lie to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit nudges your heart about something, and you tell him you will do it later and never do. Go visit that person. Okay, I'll do that, and you never do. Give that person a tract. Make things right with that person. Don't lie to him. I'm preaching good tonight. What about this? What about this? Matthew, let's go to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 31. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 31. That personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 31, verse 32. We'll look at this when she gets it pulled up. It says this, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Verse 32 says this, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. The word blasphemy simply means this. To speak of the Supreme Being in terms of impious irreverence. To revile or speak reproachfully of God. Don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Here's another one. And then I'm going to conclude this. Don't resist him. Acts 7:51 deals with that. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. Resist, literally, to stand against, to withstand, hence to act in opposition or to oppose. 1828 goes on and gives this illustration. He says, a dam resists a current of water passively by standing unmoved and interrupting its progress. Did you catch that? Matter of fact, the other day I had walked back down in here behind the church and back over through the Isaac's Bottoms, Brother Denny, back up through the river, and there was a beaver's dam. And you know what? As I got closer to that, I noticed that the river wasn't flowing as free as it once was. Why? Because there was a beaver that had built a dam, and in doing that, it resisted the water passively and standing unmoved and interrupted its progress. You know what he says about the Holy Ghost? He says, don't resist him, because when you resist the Holy Ghost, you stop the progress of the Holy Ghost. Listen to what I'm fixing to say. I wonder how many times a sinner lost and on the road to hell is set in a service, but because some Christian wouldn't do what the Holy Ghost told him to do, that sinner left lost. I wonder how many times somebody walked into the house of God, and it may have been the day that God pricked their heart through the Holy Spirit convicting them. And all of a sudden, because this one had a little beef with this one, and their stinking pride wouldn't let them get it right. Well, I don't have to tell them I'm sorry. I didn't do nothing wrong. You know what? I've said I'm sorry a lot of times, and I never did do nothing wrong. And you know what? I didn't have to tell them I didn't do nothing wrong. They knew I didn't do nothing wrong, but I still looked at them and said, man, I sure do love you, and I'm praying for you. And if I've offended you in any way, I sure am sorry. Let me tell you the reason why. Because they're sinners on the road to hell, and we can dam up the flow of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost of God in our church. Oh, yes. Go back to that blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. Listen to this, and I'll give you the last point. We'll go home. Listen to this. If I offend God, our personal relationship, if I offend God, I've got the Son to talk to God for me. If I offend the Son, I've got the Holy Ghost to talk to the Son for me. If I offend the Holy Ghost, all communication's broken. There is no more go-betweens. And the ministry of the Holy Ghost and your personal relationship with Him is probably the most important. Let me back up and rephrase that. It is the most important relationship in your life. You say, my relationship with God is the most. How are you going to get to Him? You're going to get to Him through the Holy Ghost. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you going to talk to the Son? He left a comforter for us. Who was it that makes groanings with intercessions that cannot be uttered? It wasn't the Son. It wasn't the Father. It was the Holy Ghost. Our personal relationship with Him is so important. Then there's the power required of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at this and we'll go home. The power required of the Holy Ghost. We must recognize how much we need the power of God in our life. I need the power of the Holy Spirit every day in my life. What did He say? And I know I've already said it. Walk in the Spirit and you'll what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, it's because you are not walking in the Spirit. It's because your relationship with the Spirit is not right. A lot of times we say this, our relationship with God isn't right. Truthfully, our relationship with the Holy Spirit isn't right. That's really the way we ought to say it. We've backslid on the Holy Ghost. We've quenched the Holy Ghost. We've offended the Holy Ghost. And we have got to have the Holy Ghost if things is going to work right. We do much planning and we should. We do much programming and we should. We do much promoting and we should. But without the power of the Holy Ghost, every bit of it's in vain. We can have every song lined out. We can practice every one of them. We can sing them to our very best. We can study the Word of God. We can have the greatest outline. I'm all for studying. I'm all for applying yourself. I'm all for outlining to help people understand things. I'm all for every bit of that. But hear me and hear me well. Without the anointing and without the touch and without the power of the Holy Ghost of God, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 2. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There's some things that only the Spirit can do. Only the Spirit can convict sin. Only the Spirit can convert a sinner. Only the Spirit can conduct the service. Only the Spirit can comfort the saints. Only the Spirit can conquer old Satan. It takes the Spirit. Come start playing, Miss Tanya. May God help us tonight to give the Holy Spirit His proper recognition, recognize His primary role, and maintain a personal relationship with Him. At the same time, we must remember that His power is required for us to perform God's services and see results that will glorify God. Remember that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer and He desires to empower every believer. It might be said, if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is a resident, but He is running for president in your life. Can I say that again? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is a resident. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells inside of you. There's no doubt about that. But he's just not interested in being a resident. He wants to be the president. Everybody, you've heard me say it so many times, everybody is interested in a Savior, but not many is interested in a Lord. So, preacher, what do you mean? A Savior is someone that saves us from our sin. Our Lord is someone that has preeminence in our life. How does that happen? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present in every believer, prominent in some believers, but preeminent only in a few believers. And I say this to you in closing, I really want him to be preeminent in my life. I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me. I want every word that I say to come through direction of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, a lot of times if you just stop and pray a minute and say, God, how would you have me to handle this? God, help me to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a lot of times I have to pray that. There was a nurse at the hospital. There's two of them. All the rest of them was wonderful, but they was two. I'm just going to have to tell you. I said, God, help me walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to tell you, man, Monday morning, I said, Daddy's watching now. He'll fuss at me for lying to him. But I said, boy, they're going to be good. I was trying to be positive. Boy, in the backside of my mind, Miss Rachel, I walked out and went to the nursing station, Brother Brian. And when I got to the nursing station, I had a black hoodie on, because it was cold in Daddy's room. And that black hoodie said Surrey County Sheriff's Office on it. And I looked at that and I thought, I better be real careful. And then I looked at the sleeve and the sleeve said chaplain. I wanted to cut the sleeves off and the badge out of it or take it off and throw it in the closet. You know what I had to do, Brother Josh, Lord? Help me to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you want me to tell you what had happened if I'd have said anything out of the way? Well, you know, if they was a chaplain, if somebody calls himself a preacher, came down here and acted like that. He needs preeminence in our life. I'm not going to tell you that every day he has preeminence in my life. Because there's days that I say things I should and I act ways I should. You know what I have to do for him to ever have preeminence in my life again? I have to go back and make that right. I told one on the phone not long ago. They just kept on and kept on. Now, I finally just had all John was going to take. And I hung up, and the devil said, "Atta boy, you let them have it." I said, "You're right, son. They'll remember that one all day." And the Holy Ghost said, "Call them back." I said, "I'll never get the same person. It'll be all right. Call them back." I rode up the road a little while, and I tried to enjoy the relationship with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? He got out of the truck. You know what I done, Brother Brian? I called him back. Didn't get the same person. But I said, "Hey, if you can find out who called this number, my name is this, and will you tell them I'm sorry? I sure didn't exemplify Christian in the things that I said. And I apologize for that. And I never want to do nothing to hinder them from knowing." They didn't know I was a preacher. They didn't know who I was. But the Holy Ghost did. I've had to go back in restaurants. Say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't behave myself the way I should have. Bless God, I ain't going to go back. It's probably the reason you and the Holy Spirit's not getting along right now. Oh, we can stand up and wave a hand. Everybody all right tonight? We can stand in the choir. We can smile. We can stand up and testify. Boy, we can put on a show. But hear me and hear me well. Those people that the Holy Ghost is preeminent in their life, they'll know. They'll know. I've got home before, and my youngins say this. I just didn't feel nothing on that. You say, what do you say? Well, the Lord knows their heart, honey. Then they go to bed, and I look at Miss Leslie and go, they more discerning of the Holy Ghost than most adults are. He's got to have preeminence in it. That's not just in here. That's in every aspect of our life. And you want me to tell you who? I'm done. Let me tell you who will know it more than anybody else if you're real in that area. Your children. Your children will know it more than anybody else. Preeminent. Our relationship with Him. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. Man, the past week has just been a blur. And I told Leslie yesterday, I said, Thursday afternoon, unless something major happens to Daddy or one of the girls, me and you, we're going off for just a few minutes Thursday evening. And we're going to ride bikes together, and we're going to talk, and we're going to get us a candy bar. You can do that after you ride 30 miles, Brother Denny. You can do that. We're going to get us a candy bar, and we're going to hold hands, and we're going to talk. Let me tell you the reason why. I like that relationship. I miss that when life gets as busy. Can I just tell you something? That's the way the Holy Ghost feels about you. He won't come here, Peyton, and help the preacher. He wants to walk with you. Hey, it's okay. You can put your arm around me. Hey, man. I love you, pal. I'm proud of you, man. You done good today. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to do to you. Are you the Holy Ghost or am I the Holy Ghost? Are you quenching Him? That's what He wants. This is the relationship that the Holy Ghost... You said, preacher, it's God. No, it's the Holy Ghost. You said, preacher, God sat down beside me and helped me tonight. No, the Holy Ghost did. You said, preacher, I was battling things in my life and God swept by and helped me. No, the Holy Ghost did. He told us in chapter 14 who it was. It's the Holy Ghost. And boy, may we not quench it. May we not desert it. May we keep our relationship with the Holy Ghost the right way. Is yours right? Yeah, yeah. You can pray and get right for line here in a minute. No, I'm just speaking. The Holy Spirit tonight. Father, I love you. As we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Lord, you know the need of the service. God, help my relationship with the Holy Spirit be right. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. There's already several moving around the altar. The Lord spoke to your heart. These altars are open. You know what? Maybe there's something in your life that is quenching that work of the Holy Ghost in it. Maybe there's some kind of bitterness. There's something between you and someone else. You know what you ought to do tonight? Man, you ought to find that individual. I'm just going to be real honest with you. There's no need to go to the altar and ask the Lord to forgive you for it if you don't make it right with that individual. So, preacher, I went to him, and it didn't do no good. Well, then you're okay. You tried. You can't make others get right with you, but you can be kind to them. I don't have to be their best friend, but I can still be kind to them. As she plays through a verse, these altars are open. You do business with him.